Night, all the decorations and the setup and the food and the movie was and the fellowship, the time together was all really good. Thank you for all those who worked hard to do that, and then everybody to put things back in place. I didn't mention it last week. I meant to mention it last week, and I didn't. But we did put it in the This Week at Grace about Founders Week at Moody Bible Institute, and they streamed that live, and I hope some of you had opportunities to watch that or listen to that this week. It was really good. I got every night but Friday night. I had to work Friday night, so I missed Dr. Mark Job, who is president of Moody Bible Institute, preaching, but we started off the week with Crawford Loretz, and he started off talking about preaching about disappointment, and he went through five things that we should choose when disappointment comes our way. And then D.A. Horton preached on Wednesday night, that would have been the second night, about our defining moments. And of course, the theme of Founders Week was from Esther chapter 4, "For such a time as this," and he preached out of Esther chapter 4 about defining moments. And then Francis Chan, you may have heard that name before. Francis Chan preached on Thursday night out of Acts chapter 20. He diverted from Esther chapter 4 and went to Acts chapter 20 and preached about the fact of our lives have no value in and of themselves, where Paul talks about that my life is no value in and of itself, but for the gospel's sake, and a passionate plea to the students at Moody Bible Institute to live their lives with no regard for their own life, but regard for Christ. And so if I think you can go back and watch those again, I think. Okay. So I encourage you to go back. You missed the music and all that cool stuff, but you can go back and listen to the messages again in the archives. And I hope you'll do that. Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and we're finishing out our series on how to walk into church. This will be the last message on that as of right now, and then you will finish your reading this week, chapters 6 and 7 in the book this week. So I want to finish up this way with a $64,000 question. Is, does church ever really finish? Does church ever really finish? Is there a time when church is over and life and schedule get back to whatever normal is, whatever your normal is? Sadly enough, I'm afraid that many who attend corporate worship and like a Sunday morning Bible study, like our Grace Connection group, something they call it, they may call it Sunday school or whatever they call it, they name it, their small group, that attend those may say yes to that question. There is a time when church ends, and in their minds, it's just that church is just a time or a place. And that's why they can think that way. But those who are walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, know the answer to those two questions. Is church ever really over? Does it finish? The answer is no. And a capital N-O to that. Church never really finishes, nor is it over. For we have to really think, how could it be? How could we ever be finished? Ever stop being the church? You see, we just can't just shut it down, shut it off, shut it down. Turn off the lights, the party's over, and you just turn it down. It's done. See, true believers, we know that we do not live two different lives. We don't live two different lives. We don't have our Sunday morning life and then have our Monday through Saturday, our weekday life. We don't do that because, as you know, we looked at the beginning of this study that we were looking at, when we looked at who is the church, and we saw that our lives have been so radically transformed and changed because of what Jesus has done for us and in us to make us the church, that we cannot escape it. God has called us, as we say this a lot, because these are so important truths for us. You know, Brian was talking about identity. This is truth of identity. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's our identity. He's called us out of death into life. That's who we are. That's who we are in him. And the Bible says that we have been made new, new creations, not just for one day a week. We've been made new for every day of every week. And since this is true, the way we live is new too, as well, T-O-O, too, as well, all week long, even when we walk out of this place. I know it's easy. I know, just like you know, I know how easy it is to get caught in a Sunday frame of mind. We get caught in that Mayberry thing, Sunday, my go to preaching. We just Sunday go to preaching. I know how easy it is to come here on Sunday mornings and to do church stuff and to do it and to be able to do it in an environment that is safe, that is conducive, and it's set up for us to serve the Lord and serve and love one another. Everything we've been talking about. It's easy to do. I completely understand how you and I can get caught in a Sunday frame of mind. We can. Our culture is set up that way. And it's easy for us to get caught into it as well. And to get into this Sunday frame of mind, and when we're preparing and when we're getting ready to come and love and to serve the Lord, as we looked at the Lord as well as each other. I also understand the after Sunday frame of mind, how difficult and challenging it is to walk in and with the Lord come Monday morning. I know how difficult and challenging it is to continue that momentum of loving and serving each other Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday after Sunday. When Sunday is but, what, a yesterday. And all of the safety, all of the conduciveness that we have here together, it's not there. It doesn't seem to be there. And it can't be found. Why? Because we've left that Sunday frame of mind. We've left that Sundayness. And now we've entered into the Mondayness. And we enter back into the hurt, the pain, the trials, all those things that go along with our everyday life in the week, the doubts, the fears, the aloneness, the hardships, everything. And it's a tough, cruel world to walk in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. To deny that would be just that, denial. And we look at the Gospels, Jesus never promised an easy Monday through Saturday. Matter of fact, he promised probably the opposite. And if we were to speak to other brothers and sisters like the last people we're praying for, or the Nigerian brothers and sisters we're praying for, that they would say, Sunday's a hard day. Every day's a hard day. I get updates almost every day from Open Doors, and the things that happen on Sundays to believers who gather is scary. And even on good days, and our best days, you know how difficult it is, and I understand how difficult it is to be in the Word, to pray, to be in a sweet communion with the Lord and a fellowship with each other. Even on good days, it can be difficult. I know it is. It is for all of us. So we ask the question, is there an example? Is there some help? Paul said, is there any encouragement? Be of this attitude or this mind. Is there any of that? Yes, I think there is. And as we walk with the Lord as the church all week long, there's a really, as you turn to Acts chapter 2, there's a really powerful narrative that the Lord allowed Luke, inspired Luke to write, to give to us a glimpse of what happened immediately following Pentecost with the believers that can help to show us what it means to walk as the church all week long. And so Acts chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 42 through 47. And they, speaking of, if you look back in verse 41, you'll see about 3,000 souls were saved. And you have the 120 already that were in the upper room and there at Pentecost. So let's just say there's 3,120, give or take some. That's the they. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together in the breaking of bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. There's a whole lot in this passage. And where we need to go today and where we're going today is this. To basically see the life, the capital L-I-F-E, the life that is in the church. The life that is in the church. In light of what God's been teaching us. And I'm, you know, I hope you're like me and I'm like you, that I'm beginning to approach our time together and our fellowship. When I say fellowship, I'm not, again, talking about just sitting around the table eating. I'm talking about our fellowship in Christ differently and thinking about it more and asking God to bring it to my mind more, that I don't forget it, because I can forget things very easily. And to look at this, the life, the capital L-I-F-E of the life of the new church or the early church here, in light of what God's been teaching us in our present days, as we've been looking in His Word over the last 6 weeks together and reading how to walk into church together and how He's sanctifying us as the Grace family to walk out of church on Sunday and to keep walking as the church until we gather the next Sunday, and for that just to be continuous. You see, the time setting for this passage is 7 days a week. Acts 42 through 47 is the time setting, the context. Twice Luke uses the phrase day by day, which indicates to us it's every day. Day by day, there's without end, day by day, all week long. So what's happening in the church after, we could say, after the first day of the week is over, Sunday being the first day of the week, because it was the day the Lord Jesus was raised. And so it's the day that we gather. This is the first day of the week. And so what was happening in the church after the first day of the week? And what I don't want us to do is look at the specific things this go around. We can do that some other time, but not today. not the specific things that they were doing, not the teaching, not the eating, not the giving, but to see the real life within the people of God. These new believers in Jesus Christ. And see, so what we read in Acts 2:42 through 47, it is something new. This is something new. See, life was different up until Acts 2:41. Life was different. Life was normal or whatever. And we read, again, where Luke writes that 3,000 heard and they received the gospel preached by Peter. And having heard, we're told that they believed. And having believed, we're told they were baptized. And that baptism, we know and understand, is the identification with Christ, but also the identification with Christ. And if you identify with Christ, you have to identify with his bride. So the identification is with Christ and the church, the people of God, together. Life after 241, Luke 241, was new and different than life before Acts 2:41. Why was that so? Well, we know because we have the rest of the scripture. We have Ephesians chapter 1. We have other passages that tell us that the Holy Spirit we have Acts chapter 2 where the Holy Spirit comes, the first part of that comes to the believer. We have from John 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. Not only will he be with you, but he will be in you. And so the Holy Spirit has caused something to happen that day in them after Peter finished saying, "Save yourselves from this perverse and crooked generation." So what did the Holy Spirit bring forth? The Holy Spirit brought forth life, L-I-F-E, capital life, L-I-F-E. A brand new, transformed life in Jesus Christ, in whom they have believed. The Son of God, crucified, risen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus declared that John declared that this life, he called Christ the life, was manifest to us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. That in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men, John tells us. John declared in John 10:10, Jesus' words, Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, he said. Jesus said, whoever follows me will have the light of life. And Jesus declared at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. See, when Jesus comes, he brings with him life. Why? Because he is life. And when we receive Jesus, we receive not only life, we receive him. And if we receive him and he is life, therefore we receive life. Eternal and abundant life. See, that's why life, again, capital L-I-F-E, for the 3,000 souls was a new beginning in Acts 2:42 than it was in 2:40. They had never known this before until now. And this new life in Christ is now being lived in the church. It's not just a bunch of individuals. Now it's being lived in the church. Just on the spiritual first day of the week? No. Luke tells us day by day, day by day, all week long. When they walked out of church, what happened? They kept on living as the church. See, the teaching, we're told that the teaching that they were receiving, it obviously just wasn't ending in knowledge so they could ace everybody at Bible trivia. the teaching that they were devoted to and receiving was instruction on how they were living day by day. And so when you and I come and you sit under the teaching of your Grace Connection teacher, and your teacher teaches you God's Word, that teaching's not just for so you'll have more knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ. That teaching is so that you will have that knowledge and you and I will live this week according to that knowledge we've received of Christ. When they were taught that every good and perfect gift, see, the apostles are teaching this to them. And so they're teaching them the scriptures as well as I guarantee they were saying things. Jesus said this. They were teaching things that they had heard and seen from Jesus as they walked with him for 3 years. And so when the apostles would say, listen, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, they understood that. And what did they do? It said that they received their food all week long with gladness and generous hearts, praising God for that. They've been taught that God is the giver of all good gifts. And so not only probably were they bowing their head just at the mealtime, but maybe when their paycheck was handed to them by their boss, they thanked God for that paycheck. Or when they had a need and another brother or sister met that need, they thanked God. Why? Because God, I know this gift came from the hands of Marcus who handed it to me. But Lord, I know ultimately that you gave Marcus this gift to give to me. So ultimately it comes from you. So I double thank for this gift. When they heard from the apostles that what Jesus had said, for when he said, I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, I was naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me. When Jesus' discourse in Matthew chapter 25, when they heard that and they were taught that, they lived that out each day of the week. What did they do? They were graciously and generously giving to the needs of the saints in the church. See, the life and the heart of the church in Acts chapter 2, in these, well, from here on out, but right here specifically, Acts chapter 2 was not based on simply coming together once a week around a very well-oiled service, which is okay, and program ministry. The life of the church in Acts chapter 2 was that the church was alive in Jesus Christ toward one another. They were alive in Jesus Christ toward each other. When? All week long. All week long. They lived as Jesus lived. You see, the easy way to do church, and sometimes I like the easy way. That's a struggle. I like things to be easy. The older I get, the worse I get. Right, dear? About things. I want things easy. I don't want anybody messing anything up. I want things to go as planned, smooth. Let's just do it, get it done, and be done. I like that. But the easy way to do church is to come in on Sunday morning around 9:30 or so, and then to leave around noon, and that be it. That's the easy way to do church. Actually, you're not really doing church. That's just a phrase I have to use to make it understandable. That's the easy way to do it. The right way, though, is not definitely the easy way, is to come in on Sunday morning and to never really leave it. That makes it so difficult and so important at the same time. Payne wrote this. There we go. God calls us into the family of his people, even though that family is often hard to live with and is full of sinful people just like us. Well, they're still family. And we still have the obligation and privilege to love and to serve them, and we still need them to do the same for us. It is not just that we ourselves need the encouragement and help of our fellow believers to keep persevering on in the Christian life. It's also that they need us. And that's more than just a Sunday thing. That's more than just a Sunday thing. I have to believe that what's going on in Acts chapter 2 was not easy. It was not necessarily easy. We're not told it wasn't. But you and I have been around people enough to know that it's difficult when you're around other people. I was listening to a Joseph Stoll, Dr. Stoll preach, who used to be president of Moody Bible Institute. Now he's president of Cornerstone. He said the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. And so and we all understand that, not just as an elder or whatever, but we understand that as Christians. We understand that across the board. But I have to believe that what's going on in Acts chapter 2 was not necessarily the easy way. Why? Because you have different people from different backgrounds. You have people with different preferences. You have people being redeemed from different sinful lifestyles. Redeemed from different moral standards and practices that they lived in 240 before they believed in 241. And now they're living in 242. Different economic needs. Different personality traits. Different family structures, different neighborhoods. Luke uses the word common in this passage. Common doesn't mean that everyone was exactly the same and that there were never any issues of struggles and messiness. We see that happen you get to Acts chapter 6 and it's already starting to happen. It's probably already happening before then. But we have a documentation of it by then. So it doesn't mean that everyone is exactly the same. And that, again, there's never any messiness or anything. And the word common doesn't mean ordinary either in this context. It can in other contexts, but not this one. It seems from the passage to mean that they all saw themselves alive together in Christ, a collective group of people who have been made alive in Jesus Christ, and now the Spirit of God indwells them and empowers them, controls them, fills them. Jesus is their Lord and Savior as their acknowledgement now. God's Word is their, and commands is their way. So it's this collective group with what? With a common purpose. We see the commonalities with the common purpose of loving each other. We see the common desire in this passage to take care of each other. We see the common generosity to contribute to each other's needs. We see the common worship and service of the Lord. We see the common receptivity to the teaching of the Word of God. We see the common thankfulness for what God has been providing. We see a common praise to God for the favor they had with other people. So this commonality, this commonness is collective. That's what he's talking about. And we see the result of this commonness in Jesus is what happens. God is saving others in the community and bringing them into that commonality as well. See, none of this would be true if the church were merely a one-day-a-week institution, a one-day-a-week gathering of people who just had the same likes and liked to sing the same songs and read from the same book and sit in the same places and just, you know, check it off the list. None of this would be happening if that were the case. But it's true. Why? Because the people of God knew themselves what? To be alive in Christ now. Alive in Christ. And and that the life of Christ walked out of the church with them into the coming week with all of its difficulties, with all of its messiness, with all of its struggles. With all of its victories and all of its triumphs. So we go back to our original question that we brought forth in the beginning. Do we ever really walk out of church? Is church ever really over? There is a point where we're going to get up out of our seats in a few minutes. We're going to collect our stuff. We're going to get up out of our seats, and we're going to get our coats on, and we're going to head to the door, and we're going to exit through the door, and we're going to walk through the parking lot, get into our vehicles, and we're going to drive into our worlds, wherever that may be, as it may. So how do we do that? If we're not really leaving it, how do we do that? Payne writes, and you're going to read this week these words. The wise way would be to walk out of church with the word of God on our lips and in our hearts, ready to submit every part of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we're going to read together this week in the final chapters as we finish up our reading together. How to walk into church. But as we conclude this time, Let's take some time and respond to the Lord as our musicians come to ask the Lord to change us and remind us and to keep us realizing and knowing that once we leave here, we're not leaving a gathering. We are leaving as the gathered. And we're remaining as the church. And ask God how He can use us this week, to continue day by day to be in common with each other, to be in fellowship with the Lord and with each other, and how to minister, and how to delight in each other and rejoice with each other. How to suffer with each other. How to pray for one another. And how to do those things, those individual things that we necessarily didn't look at. But how do we do those as people, the people of God, alive together in Christ? Let's pray. Father, have your way. Holy Spirit, we need you. Work in us. Change us and transform us. To walk as the church every day. In Jesus' name, amen.